Now we hear from St. Paul in Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. And these are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed in Christ, the first commandment puts God at the very highest point in your life. Do you know who is next? Mom and Dad. After God, you put your parents. In his large catechism, Martin Luther put it this way: however humble, poor, infirm, or eccentric they may be, our father and mother are nevertheless God's gifts to us. They are not to be robbed of their honor because of any peculiarities or failings. It is not their personalities, but it is the office, the vocation into which they've been put by God that we are to recognize and honor more than any other. That's where the fourth commandment puts parenthood. With that in mind, you can perhaps understand better why there is so much hatred directed against the office, the vocation of parent. We don't like to obey. Parenthood is despised by the world. People don't want to honor parents, and many don't want to be parents. Many prefer to abort a baby instead of becoming a parent. Many will choose divorce over remaining mother or father to their children. Many choose to disparage their parents, if not to their faces, then behind their backs, mocking them when they are not around. Many of you are in a very vulnerable time of life when it comes to how you deal with your parents. You are vulnerable because you are transitioning from dependence to independence. You are anticipating freedom instead of those constricting do this and don't do that of your parents. Some of you come from a background where you wish you had parents or that they were together. For those with both father and mother, it is easy to take that family unity for granted. Those who do not have it often long for it and may wonder about your complaining about mom or dad, thinking, I wish I had a dad or a mom to complain about. This commandment is so central to our lives because we all come from a father and a mother. Their union is our beginning. And it is God's will for our lives that we recognize that truth, that we cherish it, that we give honor to those whom God used to bring us into this world. Parents are the primary way, that vocation that God actually established to care for children. For most of us, it is our parents who provided the first article blessings that we have. He's given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still preserves them, that he richly and daily provides me with food and clothing, home and family, property and goods, and all that I need to support this body and life. All of this begins with your parents. Of course, St. Paul knew this, and he was directed by God the Holy Spirit to bring this truth home to us with these divine words: children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. We're not told, obey your parents when you agree with them. We're not told, only obey your parents if they've never sinned. You know, one of the common attempts of children to bypass parental authority is when parents say, don't do that. And the child presumptuously says, well, I bet you did it when you were a teenager, so why can't I? A parent who falls for that attempted guilt trip needs to understand his vocation. One is not a parent due to living a perfect life, but because God has put him in that crucial role. And so, be the parent. A child's standard is not the imperfect life of sinful parents, but God's teaching. And what does God say? Obey your parents. Lack of respect for parents is nothing new. The dysfunctional family goes back to Genesis. Read about Isaac's and Rebekah's twins, Esau and Jacob. Read about Jacob's boys. The family has been targeted by Satan since the first marriage, Adam and Eve. The God-given relationship of parents and children has been struggling with selfish parents and rebellious children throughout the course of the sin-filled world. The way in which God, the Father, chose to provide rescue from the sin-burdened parent-child relationship was to send his Son for you and me. Not only to send his only begotten Son, but to send him into a family as a baby, as a boy, as a teenager, as an adult. As the gospel for this first Sunday of Epiphany points out for us, the Son of God submits himself to the authority of his human mother and her husband, to Mary and Joseph. The main point of that key event there at the temple with the 12-year-old son of Mary and son of God is not for parents to try and berate their children with the "why can't you behave like Jesus did" burden, but rather for us to know that there is God for us, fulfilling the obedience to the law we cannot achieve, so that his righteousness covers our sin. His perfect obedience replaces our disobedience, so that God, looking at us through the love of his Son for us, sees his perfect Son in us, for us, and with us. The love of the Father for you and me is so great that he sent his Son into that certain death. And the love of the Son for his Father for you and me is so great that he willingly went to that hill of death outside Jerusalem. Their forgiveness was won for parents who fail, for children who rebel. And here and now, that same forgiveness is proclaimed and given. All your sins of rebellion, of selfishness, of mockery and hatred, forgiven. You're free in Christ. Believe that in the name of your brother, Jesus Christ, your Savior. Amen. He whom the sea and wind obey doth come to serve the sinner in great meekness. Thou, God's own Son, with us are one, dost join us and our children in our weakness.